If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.
Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's the Hammer from the Rugby Rant Podcast Show. We have an exciting episode, episode 217, coming at you this week. And it's a timely episode because we got a lot of things going on here in the United States involving rugby. You know, just coming off of the summer test series with the US Eagles. Women's had a great game against Fiji in the capital. And then they're heading right into the Rugby World Cup. And situated right there, in the middle of all this, is U.S. Club Sevens Rugby Championships coming up in a couple of weeks. And so that's why we brought this load of guests on, and we've got some awesome guests. So we have a regular contributor, somebody that you've been a traditional watcher of the Rugby Rant. You know him very well. It's none other than David Fee, of course. What hasn't this guy done in the American rugby landscape? Not only has he represented the United States, both in the 15s and the 7s level, by the way, representing us in the 2003 Rugby World Cup, probably the most successful World Cup put on by the United States, might I add. But he's also the USA 7s, U18s head coach. He's the Lions women's 7s head coach, won a national championship 2 years ago. And he is the USA 7s championship director. Dave, welcome to the show.
Hey, Rob, thanks for having me. Always great to be back, and looking forward to a great Sevens championship coming up here in 2 weeks.
100%. And he brought along a special guest of his, really has connected me with this individual, and that is Fionn Lewis. Fionn is a Welsh cap international, 33 caps, got her debut in 2018, and she is here in the United States playing for the Lions women's sevens program. And contrary to popular belief, Dave did not go over to Wales to recruit her. She just found her way here. It's, you know, sometimes it's just luck of the draw. And some guys like Fee fall ass backward into a bed of roses and it works out for him. And this is one of those cases. Anyway, Fionn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, it's always a pleasure. I know you're no stranger to the social media content. We'll get into that in a little bit. But then none other than somebody that I consider a really good friend of mine. I've gotten to know over the last couple of years, not just through rugby, but on a personal level. And he is a USA international in his own right. Eagle number 5 39, capped against England, also plays for the Chicago Hounds. And this year, just didn't work. You know, he's playing for the Chicago Lions, I support him in that endeavor. I know we tried to get him down to the Bombers again because he was there 2 years ago, but, you know, things and rules that Fee can't control, David Fee can't control. You know, he just had to go on the team, you know, play for a team that was going to work out for him. But nonetheless, it is Chicago's very own Michael Baska.
Thanks for having me. Dave, you're going to have Rob clip that intro for you. Wow, what an intro.
No, he loves it. He loves the attention.
Did you write that up, for you, Dave, or Rob? You just
No. As I sat here and heard it, I'm like, I hope my wife doesn't watch this. If she knows all the stuff I'm doing in rugby, I'm gonna get in trouble.
Well, outside of the Fee household, Dave is an attention whore. So, at any rate, no. In all seriousness, it's great to have you guys on. Every one of you has some amazing accomplishments in your own right, professionally. And I think with respect to the Club Sevens and the Sevens discussion here today, you're all going to be able to contribute admirably. I think it should be an awesome discussion. So with that being said, for folks watching at home, we have got an interesting discussion today. Here it is. We're talking USA Club Sevens. And in larger context, what is the role of Sevens in the USA rugby landscape? Things have changed a lot recently. And in light of that, I think we've got to have a conversation about the role of Sevens as we approach the National Club Sevens tournament. So that is the plan today. And we're going to delve right into it. Let's see if I can get my, there we go. I don't need Scott, the big guy Ferrara. I've got the production thing handled. All right. So, first, before we do that, I just want to get an opportunity to talk about, you know, and lay the groundwork for this Club Sevens National Championship. Been held in Madison, Wisconsin, the last 2 years. This year, August 9th and 10th. Dave, why don't you give us the 411, as they say, on, you know, how people can find it physically, virtually, and, you know, what this event is all about.
Yeah, always a great opportunity to just to mention the usaclub.rugby website. You know, all the information is there with regards to the national championship. As you mentioned, we're heading back to Madison, Wisconsin for our third year. Brad Dufek, who I saw was just appointed as the director of rugby for NCR. You know, they do a great job up there in Madison. They've been a great partner. This is now the third year we're going back. The teams know where they're going. They know what to expect. The competition obviously just continues to get better and better. I know Ben Pinkelman and Emily Bidewell from the national team are excited to come in and watch. And you know, I think you hit on it. You know, this is one of the few areas of our game where, you know, you can start at the club level in June and end up in Chula Vista, you know, in August. So it's a great opportunity for our players, our athletes. And as we mentioned, third year in a row, we're just looking to make it bigger and better each and every time, both on and off the field.
Yeah, we're going to get into that discussion. I like the way you think, talking about the pipeline to the national team, the high performance pathways. Those always have been blurred in the past, especially when Dave and I played. It was, you know, it was a head scratcher. How do you get into the national team anyway? But I think things are more aligned, and we're going to get into that in a little bit. Dave, I know as director for the last couple of years, Philip Coupins was a director in the first year that it was, he was a director for, I think, 3 years. It was in St. Louis, and then it was in Madison, and now you've taken over the last 2 years. But I know you like to bring an improvement. One of the things you brought last year is you're like, hey, these teams travel from a long way away. Belmont Shore is one of the participants. They have to bring tents and all this stuff. How can we make it easier? And one of your answers was, let's get another Ben involved, I think, and get some tents on site so that teams don't have to travel with those tents to keep themselves out of the sun and in good condition to play excellent rugby. So what's on tap for this season?
Yeah, so obviously another kudos and thanks to Ben Landry, who I think you mentioned. He's connected to the event company up there, so they bring in the tents. It provides an excellent opportunity for the teams, like you say, just to get out of the shade. Looks professional. As mentioned, I participate with U18s, and when we do our international tournaments, it's a very similar setup. And so again, just improving the quality of atmosphere for our athletes is something we always want to do. At Madison, I mentioned the fantastic facilities, but one of the things they don't have is a video board. So working with Ryan Ginty and the Next Level Rugby crew, we're going to bring in a video truck, which basically will act as that video board, which will provide, you know, some opportunities for the athletes to, you know, score some tries and, you know, get their faces up on the big screen, maybe have some content fillers like quality, you know, stuff that the Rugby Rant has produced over time, you know, some highlights, those types of things, interviews with, you know, Ben Pinkelman, Emily Bidewell, you know, whoever else. But again, it'll provide some additional content. You know, the fans will be able to see, you know, the board as well, too. So I think that'll be great. Massage therapy, you know, is coming in again, just another enhancement for our athletes. But those are the things we're looking to continue to do, as well as, you know, bring in sponsors. Potentially, we're still looking for like an ice bath company, those types of things.
So, Michael and Fionn, I got to ask you guys, if there were a contest for the greatest try celebration, would either one of you have something in your back pocket that you could pull out when that camera is right there in a try zone and you dotted it down?
Go ahead, Fee.
I don't think I'm the one for this. I get too worried that I'm going to drop it.
You'll have to ask your boys from the St. Louis Bombers, Rob. They had a couple good dives over the weekend.
I've seen people snag it before. I've seen people doing this before they put it down, and I was like, no.
Or the one-hander. Let's just set it down with one hand. That's one of the things Michael refers to at the St. Louis Bombers boys. They're a big fan of the dive, you know, the jumping try. I'd probably, I don't know, I'd probably knock the wind out of myself if I tried that. Save the fact that I'm 50 freaking 4 years old.
Nah, you still got it.
Only up here. So, no, and honestly, like, after you dot it down, maybe, you know, the gun salute, maybe a, you know, jig. Michael, I know, George Merrick is a big fan of doing a little shimmy.
Little shimmy. But to be fair, probably one of the best try celebrations I ever seen. In Alaska, they have a pond at the end of their try zone. And during when you play Midnight Sevens, you go down, you touch the ball down, and the players and sometimes even the referee will grab the whistle and dot it down, throw up the one, and then do a dive in the pond. So for me, that's got to be right up there.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome. Hey, Dave, can we set that up for 2 weeks from now?
I was about to say, Sophia, over the weekend, when you dot one down, you can go jump and throw the one up and go jump in the ice.
For what it's worth, tournaments in Madison have had a pool in the try zone for that exact reason. I don't know that we'll have that at the national championships, though.
Boy, that would be special. So that sounds awesome. I like the fact that we're always trying to improve the event, you know, not just for fans in-house, fans that are watching, you know, obviously the video board adds an element to it, but also for players. You know, you always want player safety, you know, with the tents, getting them out of the sun, getting them in some shade, especially in the hot August afternoon. You want them to be safe. So all those things are great. So if there is a cold plunge company out there, just go to the local bathroom and you can find Fee's number, and I'm sure in the back of a stall door. So, no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Where can they reach you, Dave, if they do want to, if we do have a sponsor like that?
You know, sevens@usa.club.rugby or usaclub.rugby. So that's sevens@usaclub.rugby is the best spot to come find us. And again, we're looking for additional sponsors. It'll be on the rugby network, you know, having additional content to be able to give them. You know, you mentioned Philip Coopens, you know, he's still involved. Obviously, you know, I'm coaching the Lions women's team, so I do a lot of the pre-work, but Phil's still really heavily involved. Pickle Juice will be our title sponsor once again. So big thanks to Phil. And then as I'm coaching, he and Dave McPhail, you know, they run a lot of the 15s tournament. And so the USA Club rugby people have done this now in Indianapolis and, you know, up in Madison the last few years. So those guys are still heavily involved. And, you know, I rely on them to make this just a better event. And obviously Pickle Juice is going to add some additional banners again, just to make this, again, a better production.
Absolutely. One thing I want to ask about, and there's a little self-promotion involved, I guess, but Friday night, are we going to have a preview show? So that fans who might be catching this on TV or who might be going to the event kind of know which matchups to watch, you know, a review of the pools, kind of a review of some of those qualifiers.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's something that we want to do. I know you've been in contact with Ryan Ginty. And again, with that video board, it's something that we can kind of use to provide, you know, content throughout the week and refer back to, you know, without a doubt. So, you know, hopefully we'll have some quality guests to bring on for you, and you guys can, you know, do what you do best, and that's promote our game.
100%. Well, I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to the weekend. It should be spectacular, especially with both the men's and women's Lions involved. Fionn and Michael representing each of them respectively. The Midwest just seems to be so strong. So I expect with on both sides, you know, with North Shore women, the Lions women, and of course you got the Lions men, Detroit and St. Louis Bombers. So the Midwest is well represented at both the men's and women's game. But let's talk a little bit to our guests here that we brought on, especially, you know, Fee, as she's known. And I think there's a rift inside the Lions women's team about who owns the rights to this name.
Yeah, that's right. I'm winning at the moment. All the girls have got my back.
Well, at the very least, you know, you guys do special things and win in spite of the coach, perhaps motivated, you know, in support of their captain, Fionn.
Hey, as long as we get back to that title game, Rob, I don't really care what they call me, you know?
They can call you the
Space Pablo. What he doesn't know won't hurt him. What he doesn't know won't hurt him.
All right. So, Fionn, I got to ask you, you know, obviously you're from Wales. For people that don't know, you've had 33 caps. It's a scrum half for, you know, for the Welsh team. And, you know, what were the keys to your growth and development as a player? Not only, you know, training methods, you know, something that a young player might look to and look to adopt into their own system. But is there anybody you'd like to show a shout out to thank you for where you got?
Well, I think from like a development perspective, I was just fortunate that rugby was available to me at such a young age. I actually started playing rugby when I was 6, and I played with the boys team literally until I was 12. And it was something that was available to me in school, college, university. So I've always had exposure to it. So something that, you know, when I come now to a country like America, where for females specifically, it's not something that's been available to them like it was to me. So I feel like for my development and my experience in the game, it's just because I've played it for so many years. I come from a very rugby driven household, so one of the reasons how I've been connected to the Lions is because my brother's involved in the 15s. He's coaching the 15s team. So yeah, from a very, very driven rugby family. And I've got 3 older brothers, so I have to be brought up to hold my own and look after myself. But no, obviously I've had a lot of coaches over the years. I've played for a very long time. Yeah, as you mentioned, I've played for Wales probably over a 10-year period. And that comes with highs and lows. A lot of lows and a lot of highs. You know, fortunate enough that I've, you know, been to a World Cup. Was fortunate enough to get a pro contract when they first come out in Wales 3.5 years ago now. And obviously the low sides of sport come with, you know, severe injuries. I was out for 18 months with a really bad knee injury, which then, yeah, like I said, it was a long time out of the game. I think for me, I've played different codes. So I've played rugby league. I've obviously got a big sevens background as well. So I think it's coaches that I've always had my back throughout the lows as well as the highs. And I think that's the biggest thing. You want people to be on your side when things get tough, not just when they're great. And I had a really, really good rugby league coach, Tom Brindle, who kind of picked me up at a low point in my career doing 15s, but not being selected and, you know, not being in the squad. And he kind of picked me back up and gave me an opportunity to represent Wales in rugby league. And it's someone even to this day. And this, that was like 4-5 years ago now. And someone to this day that still messages me, still has my back, still supports me no matter where I am in the world. So people like that are really important to have in your corner.
Yeah, now that's interesting because you mentioned it almost off the cuff, just, you know, how steeped in rugby Wales is, especially yeah. For fans that don't know much about it. I mean, Wales has probably embraced rugby as its number one sport, or if Welcome to Wrexham doesn't start taking over the...
Yeah, the day you're born, you're coming out and you know what rugby is. Yeah.
But, you know, in contrast, you know, here in the United States, it's not second nature or primary nature to pick up rugby and pick up a rugby ball. So, Michael, let's talk about, you know, your pathway to rugby here in the United States, which is a little bit of a contrast, a little harder to find a new sport, if you will. How did you find the game?
So my high school, one of my high school football coaches, Tim Clumpers, who is one, a good man, but two, an even better coach when it comes to developing youth players here in America. I really lucked out with him, you know, being from my city and his daughters going to my high school. And so I think he was coaching the football to get a bunch of the football boys to come out to rugby, and I was one of them. And I was, like I said, extremely lucky for him to be my coach, because the way he knows how to develop players who are coming over from, you know, other sports, whether it's football, baseball, basketball, he can get them to a level where not only you're competent, but you're learning and you're starting to progress. But then from there, I went to Arkansas State for 3 years. And then from Arkansas State, I went to Lindenwood for two. Then I've just been bouncing around a few clubs in the MLR, NOLA Gold, Utah, went over and played in France and Pro D2, played for the Eagles for a number of caps, and now I call Chicago home and been loving it.
Awesome. Well, it's always good to have you here. I know that, you know, we've known each other since, I think, back to those Lindenwood days, and certainly in the NOLA Gold days. So it's good to have you in Chicago, and it's good to know that you're calling it home. But you know, it's interesting, both you guys, and I'll let you guys talk about this independently, but both you guys have used social media as a vehicle to promote, whether it's yourself or promote what you do or promote your rugby. So I'm gonna start with Fee. You know, you're very active on social media, and for you, it's much more, it seems like a promotion of product, using your brand to promote products you believe in. So how did you get into that aspect of social media?
I generally think it's just because with women's sport in general, not just in rugby, we aren't kind of gifted with the profile or the following. Like, if you talk about any sport, whether you talk about men's soccer, American football, any sort of men's sport, it's so much bigger than women's. And if I use rugby as an example back home, if you compare Wales men's players profile to the women, it's very, very different. I think as women now, we just have to take ownership on our own, off our own backs, to kind of grow the sport ourselves. Whereas in the men's game, that's not necessary, because it's already done for them naturally, because it's always been there. So I think a few of us over the last 2-3 years, especially since we've turned professional, have just started to, yeah, like I say, become more active and just try and create a connection with our audience, because we found that our crowds are growing, and you know, more people are wanting to come and watch and play because they're getting to know us more as individuals. I think that's the most special thing. Like, you know, we have different messages that people reach out to us on social media. You know, like for me now, I came out to Chicago, and in our last home on two weeks ago, you know, a little girl, also named Fionn, had a big sign with my name on. And like, I shared that, and the reaction I had from people was amazing, because it's that connection that you're building no matter where you are in the world. So yeah, I just try and, I obviously, with a profile comes, yeah, brand connections and sponsorships, and obviously that's great. Women's sport isn't massively monetized, and there's not a huge amount of money in it. You have to kind of create those opportunities yourself. But also for me, what's important is, like I said, I want people to know who I am off the field as well as on it, because I feel like as female athletes, we're more than just the rugby player, and a big part of who we are comes off the field, and that's why rugby's a big part of our lives, and that comes from our whys off the field. So that's kind of where my motivation is through social media.
Yeah, and that makes a lot of sense. It's been, since I've gotten to know you, it's been fun to see some of those brands promote and how you promote yourself, promote those brands. Michael, I want to flip over to you. You use social media slightly different. And fans, I'm not saying one way is better or worse. It's irrelevant. Really, I'm just talking about avenues to get yourself out there. And Michael's interesting in that he does a lot to show almost the life of an athlete, what it's like to be committed to what you do. And I think that comes out in an authentic way with Michael, with your social media posts, you know, going to the gym, being serious about nutrition, all those things. You know, why is that the avenue you've chosen to use your social media presence?
Yeah, I think in the past, I probably didn't use social media as much. But then as I've gotten a bit older and seen, you know, players that I look up to use their social media to help influence younger players and younger people in the community, you just kind of give them a peek behind the curtain, you know, to see what it is like to be an athlete and what it does take, those early mornings eating right. But for me, you know, transitioning into an older player within not only the MLR, but just the USA rugby landscape, I've really started to enjoy the process of the media side of the game, whether it's learning about your podcast and working with you, watching other podcasts like For the Love of Rugby. A few ex-MLR players now have a podcast down in Australia, but you look at the landscape of media within not only rugby, but most sports, the ones that are really thriving and are making a big impact in the game in a positive way are those from ex-players, and caveat that with people who have been a staple in the game like yourself. I think it can be a really awesome opportunity for me and other players to be working and learning the media side of rugby, and with that comes social media.
Awesome. And I got to go to Dave on this. Now, folks that don't know, Dave is in sales, and he has an actual real job aside from all the other stuff that he does. In
put
his
it on
life.
The resume.
Yeah. Sorry, I'll make sure this link doesn't get out to your wife. Dave. But, you know, he's in medical sales and he's very, very successful what he does there. So he's a natural salesman, perhaps has the gift of gab, that silver tongue, if you will. But nevertheless, I've just got to ask from an objective point of view, somebody that, you know, has worked with high performance players for a long time, been in the high performance pathway during his own career. Do women generally do a better job at connecting with their brands and promoting brands to promote the sport? Is that something they do naturally, or is this just, as Fionn said, something that they've had to embrace just because of the rugby landscape throughout the world?
Well, I was waiting for you to get to me on my social media prowess. I mean, I think I know how to log into my social media, and I think I know how to watch people. You know, so I don't know if it's necessity, but I mean, I think it's been cool to see, obviously, you know, what Alona's done for our game. You know, I don't want to say she's done more for our game in 1 year than, you know, most have done in 50 years. But, you know, Alona was in my daughter's, you know, grade school yearbook, you know, and I don't know that ever happened. Right. And so, you know, Fionn obviously played with her over at Bristol. And so, you know, I think there are things that they can connect with. You know, I think, you know, whether it's makeup, whether it's, you know, beauty products, you know, again, the whole, you know, Beauty and the Beast imaging, and, you know, they can be strong on the field, you know, beautiful off of it. I think that's all there. And so I think there's that opportunity, you know, not that Basque is not, you know, beautiful, you know, on and off the field in his own right. But again, I think, you know, whether it's, I wouldn't say it's necessity. I think it's just something that's kind of happened. And as Fionn mentioned, you know, that historically the men's game has gotten a lot more attention. So I think it's just been an avenue that they've, you know, off sprouted with and really ran with it. And to their credit, I think have done a much better job potentially, you know, than the men. And, you know, we need to bring these big ambassadors, big brands into our game. And, you know, hopefully great things will happen because of it.
So kind of a question to all three of you on that note, and it's something that I've given some thought to just working in the space just a little bit, dabbling a little bit, dipping my toes into the water. But it's always seemed to me, at least at the high performance level, you can pick what that means, whether it's, you know, MLR, WER, USA Rugby, Welsh Rugby Union, whatever have you. Do these high performance pathways need to start thinking about educating and training our high performance players on how to promote themselves, the brand, the sport?
Well,
that's open to anybody.
Ryan, I'll jump in first, but I'll just say, I think, you know, we need to be doing a better job just preparing our athletes for, you know, life post game. And I was, you know, you mentioned I'm in medical sales. I was really lucky. You know, and knew some rugby guys who were in medical that started that. But, you know, had I not had that, you know, who knows? And so again, I think it's, you know, social media has now become its own business, and opportunity and the outreach to connect, you know, individually with the players has been massive, as Fionn had mentioned. But again, I think, you know, it's all aspects of, you know, career post rugby.
Yeah, and just to piggyback on that, like career post rugby, as I alluded to earlier, getting into the landscape of media at towards the back half of my career is something that's extremely enticing, especially as the MLR and USA Rugby continues to grow. Lucky enough for me, the Chicago Hounds have brought in a third-party company that have educated us on what to post, when to post, how to post, how to find your brands, how to find your audience that you're looking for. But as she had mentioned, the life after rugby only lasts so long, and the life after rugby can be a number of different things, and you can make it what you want. But for someone like me who does want to get into that media landscape, social media and other media platforms are a good way and a good opportunity to start and to learn.
Yeah, and just that's something what I'm currently going through at the moment. So I not long to left my pro contract, and unfortunately in Wales our pro contracts are purely international based, so we aren't contracted full-time with our clubs like you'd be with the Hounds here. I was contracted full-time with our international union, so when if that doesn't get renewed, that's your pro contract done. So it's not like in the men's game you'd get international honours and then you know, your club contract underneath. It's like in the women's game, if you're not contracted with your international club, it's nothing. So like, that's what I'm transitioning through at the moment. And I've always been pretty active on my social media, but now I thought it wouldn't be right if I didn't show that honesty and that vulnerability with what I'm going through now. So I've kind of started this series showing what life's like after pro sport, and that's kind of what I've titled it, to show these different stages of kind of what these last few months have been like transitioning into what normal life is kind of going to look like. And I never had support when I left my pro contract to be like, this is what you could do. Could you do this? Could you do that? So it's kind of just been opportunities I've had to create for myself. And I was fortunate that I was a qualified teacher before I left pro rugby. But I feel like there is that worry around what some people don't have things to fall back on. So again, social media support with putting yourself out there enough to be able to find opportunities post rugby, I think, is really important. I think the second side of that social media is to be able to connect with audience and connect with fans, because I think social media has grown so much now that's how we're going to be growing people, growing the numbers, growing the viewers, getting people coming in, growing sponsorship. It's being more socially active, being present, being seen more, and also just being a little bit different.
And Rob, if I can also add, you know, as we're talking about Sevens, I think Sevens offers, you know, some of the best visuals of our game, right? The purest of our athletes, you know, one-on-one speed, one-on-one tackles, one-on-one aerial battles. And so, you know, I think from that, you know, marketability of our game, and, you know, we haven't touched upon it much, but, you know, there's so many people pulling away from Sevens, whether it's World Rugby, whether it's, you know, a little bit of USA Rugby. I think someone's got to lean in. And, you know, I think here in America, you know, with the ability to, again, be on a club team in June, catch the eye of an Emily Bidewell or Zach Tesnow, you know, at the club national championships and be on the circuit the following year, you know, I don't think that happens anymore with our 15s game because of the way our college, you know, game has developed into a feeder system. And now we have the MLR. But, you know, from Sevens and drawing our purest and best and, you know, coolest visuals of our game, I think, you know, that's where we may have something here. And, you know, again, I think a lot of people are pulling away, but I think, you know, we can lean in. And, you know, if Owen and Mike Tolkien are listening from PR Sevens, you know, there's invitations for them to come out to the club championships as well. And like I mentioned, you know, Ben and Zach will be there from the USA High Performance side. And if we can figure it out from, you know, the USA HP, this, you know, fantastic club game that we're delivering, and maybe some professional elements to it. You know, they had the professional circuit over in India, and, you know, there's word that there might be a professional circuit coming back to the UK in some way, shape, or form. And so, again, I think Sevens is so cool from that aspect. And, you know, I played in a 15s World Cup, but I still think Sevens has a lot to offer us from, you know, our young athletes picking up the game, because if you can throw a 15-meter pass in sevens, you can throw a 5-meter pass in 15s. And if you can tackle one-on-one in sevens, you probably, you know, in a tighter amount of space. So I think there's a lot of opportunities there for us.
Well, think how many viral clips you would have seen on Instagram or TikTok of like a crazy hit in sevens or like someone chasing back a tackle. Like they're the clips you see going viral. It's like usually something from the series or something like that. And I just think that you get then that one clip getting that huge amount of exposure that has that knock-on effect and that benefit of, okay, the club gets the exposure, that player gets exposure. It's just that knock-on effect to be like, well, this is what we want. We want this game being seen.
It's Cedric breaking a tackle and going 80 meters to win a bronze medal.
There we are.
Good as it gets.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, Dave, is that if there isn't a better representation of that, I don't know what is, because certainly one of the few opportunities that U.S. rugby has had to break into like our more traditional media markets like ESPN, that moment did it. And Alona, I think, just tapped into it. She has a sixth sense, if you will, and tapped into that and has grown since. I think her social media presence grew from like 400,000 followers to almost 4 million in the time since that Olympic bronze medal. And she's eclipsed two of the most prominent men's social media campaigns, that of Sia Khaleesi and the French international Antoine DuPont. I want to, and Dave, I think you led very well into my next question. And I just want to mention the fact that another piece is the fact that in sevens, you can wear any number you want. And it's not atypical to wear your name on the back of your jersey. Only now we're seeing 15s team. I mean, the Six Nations just embraced it this last season. And now it's becoming more commonplace. So players are able to be more individually identified. I know the Hounds, Michael, at least their first 15 has started to put their names on the back of their jerseys. And it's, yeah. I think it's helped with that brand identity. I see people walking around SeatGeek with a number and players' names on the back, you know?
So, you know, I had something here where it was like total global viewers was something like 4.1 billion for the Olympics. And it was about 800 million for the 2023 World Cups. And then it was the most viewed Olympics ever by an American audience. So, you know, and I think that sevens element had a lot to do with it.
100%. So Dave was alluded to this. So let me just recap. Significant sevens news this spring. Number one, Great Britain sevens dropped their full-time program for a camp and competition model. Number two, Ireland dropped their sevens program altogether. Number three, World Rugby restructured the sevens series to a three-division format. U.S., at least on the men's side, is in tier two. The women are in tier one. And number four, I think, at least in the United States, which we have to recognize, is at the lower level, CRAA, which is a college, basically college rugby, you know, that's supported by USA Rugby, has decided to, you know, really go away from sevens altogether and focus on 15s. I think the big question is, what's the impact of all this? And then let's go to, I think, what Dave was alluding to, which is there an opportunity for America here to tap into sevens?
I think we're just like right off the get-go, I think there's a huge opportunity for USA Sevens with the next round of the Olympics going to be in LA. Like it's rugby's an ever changing landscape, but the opportunity they have right now where it's home soil, home Olympics, they got a big build up here. This could be the thing that catapults USA Rugby Sevens into the stratosphere, whether that's through getting a medal, having a good showing, the media side of it. I think these next couple of years for USA Sevens and the Olympic Committee to really back them is going to be a time where they can really take off.
Well, I think, you know, if we have the men and women on a podium in 2028, it would be, you know, without a doubt, game changing for rugby in our country. And I would also add that, you know, Fionn is here. you know, I think potentially for, you know, maybe some of this, and I'll let her speak to that. But again, you know, people are pulling back, and, you know, the opportunity to come over and play here this summer was, you know, something that was attractive to her in addition to having, you know, family here.
Yeah, I actually did a seven season in California like 6 years ago. And like, even so, I played for Life West, actually went to Nationals like, I said, like 6 years ago. And then the difference between sevens now and then, from like the UK's perspective, because the sevens used to be massive, has changed so much. It's all because the financial commitments are all going into 15s. And because then one union does it, then another one follows, and another one follows, because that means they're getting more competitive and everyone needs to keep up. Sevens is kind of getting affected. I just think it's such a shame, because I feel like out of the, if you compare sevens to 15s, I think sevens offers so much more in the sense of like, think of an occasion, you know, for the weekend, if you're coming down to a 2-day tournament, like the all the games you get to watch, different types of players you get to watch, and then the social interactions afterwards. I just think it's something that can continuously grow and grow. But unfortunately, I think the difference is money is being put into 15s and then sevens is getting affected. Like you mentioned GB, Great Britain, that have unfortunately lost their full-time model. Yeah, I've got some great friends that are in that program that have lost their full-time contracts, and unfortunately they're having to make a decision where they can't play sevens anymore because financially they can't, and they're having to move over to 15s. In the UK alone, the amount of women in England that have given up sevens contracts to go and play for the Red Roses for England is crazy. So I think for the US, who have a club model of playing sevens, you know, all throughout the summer, I think they can really capitalise on it. And I just think the population alone, I come from a little country in Wales, which population is smaller than Chicago. So if you put that in perspective of how big rugby is in Wales, and like kind of how naturally we are with where we are as athletes and rugby players, if we just put all our energy to think of the amount of people and athletes that America has, I just think that it's something that we're kind of sleeping on at the moment, and something that could be incredible. So, I think it's exciting. It's just, we just need more and more people to buy into it and push the same energy that we've got to try and keep growing the game.
And on that note of growing the game, the question begins to be big, and I've always wrestled with, having been somebody that's been involved in the youth rugby in the United States here and there. Should we, and I know Iowa does this, but should we be starting kids at least at the age grade levels, real young, you know, grade school, summer camp, things like that, starting them with sevens, just with the basic, you know, pass and catch philosophy, at least to introduce them to rugby, and then, you know, let kind of the rugby, the complexion of rugby take over, maybe introduce the 15s model later on down the road? Do we need to think about restructuring how we introduce rugby to youth programs in the United States?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's opportunities to do that without a doubt. And I think one of the things you didn't hit on is just pure numbers, right? If you have 10 guys, you can play sevens, right? So each school, they might not have 25, 30 guys to field the 15s team, but do they have 8, 9, 10? You know, so I think there's opportunities for that just because of the pure numbers. But yeah, from the pure catch pass, again, it's you're doing it individually. And so I think if you can work on those skills, you know, through sevens, I think there is an opportunity. I think Iowa does a great job of that. And they've highlighted that. We actually have a couple Iowa, you know, rugby players, you know, in camp.
Yeah. And just to back on that, when it comes to numbers, Heartland Youth Rugby out of Kansas City, naturally with the amount of kids that they come out, they are playing 7-on-7, 10-on-10, whether that's tackle or flag on just a modified field. I think naturally the way most Americans in my generation or younger start out playing is that 7-on-7, 10-on-10 rugby on a bit of a smaller pitch. But yeah, it's a great way to introduce the game. And then as you get a bit older, a bit more developed, and you learn a bit more about the game, you learn the nuances that is 15s.
The other thing it does is it's easy to follow. I mean, I've spoken to many of the Golden Eagles, and, you know, they follow the sevens game because they understand what an Olympics does. They understand what gold medals bring. They understand, you know, if you watch sevens, again, it's for 7 minutes, obviously, but if you watch it for 7 minutes, you know pretty quick what's happening and how it's working and what's going on. You see a mall happen and I'm not really sure what's going on there, right? And so I think for the American fan, because it's so pure, it's so, you know, one-on-one individually based, it's pretty easy to follow too and pick up.
There's Steve, well, did you guys grow up playing 15s or 7s?
I grew up when there was no rugby. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Dave, you got to know who actually owns the rights in the name of the
So we were playing 15s with the boys literally until I was 12. Didn't get introduced to 7s until the back end of school, so like 14, 15. And then played both 7s and 15s. 7s was quite big in college, which would be like 14, which would be like 16 to 18, nice. On numbers based. But we'd have the opportunity to play both.
So I've got to ask this question before we move on a little bit. I mean, it seems to me that at one time, the greatest rugby event in the United States calendar was Las Vegas 7s, right? How do we recapture that? Do we need to change the format? Do we need to adjust what 7s is all about or how it operates and works, perhaps in not more of a knockout format? What can we do to bring this into a realm where it's attracting the American audience?
I'll let the experts take it over. I'm not gonna lie. I'm a 15s man. I'm not quick enough for 7s, so I'll let them two take it over.
I think you mentioned Vegas, but some of the other big tournaments, historically Hong Kong 7s, the Dubai 7s, right? Those were events, and so you went for the rugby, but you went for the event, and they created something around that. They're trying to replicate it in LA. It's just not quite the same, and hopefully we can get back there, but. There's talk about the festival atmospheres, but then there's also talk of, it is a 10-hour day, 8-hour day, something people really need to do anymore. Can we shorten it up? You mentioned different points formats and how we do it, but I think the excitement is there. Vegas was fantastic. Dubai, has been fantastic. Hong Kong has been fantastic. So I don't know if it's just the third party element that comes in to, create this Formula One fast 7s or whatever it is. But hopefully we can figure out a way to get back there.
Yeah, I agree on that. Like, I've done Dubai 7s 6 or 7 times as a spectator, as a player, coach. So I've done all three different aspects of it. And you're going, like you say, you're going for the rugby, but it's an incredible event. The amount of people that go there just to go and watch, like, people go there on holiday, they go there on a stag do, they go there because it's so well known for it being such an incredible event over that period of time, which I just think that can be offered in something like Vegas or something like that. I do think that that could be matched to have just the same reaction and response. It's just having the people to buy into it, to believe that it can be something and promote it enough to be able to kind of not so much replicate, but kind of offer something similar to something like Dubai.
You're muted, Rob.
Yeah, sorry, it's amateur hour here in the Hammerschmidt household. I was never fortunate enough to get out there. I just too many things at home got in the way, but just took priority, as they sometimes do. But having said that, I had a lot of friends that went out and made it. They made it an annual mecca, if you will, to go out there and go to Las Vegas 7s. It's a shame that we haven't figured out a way to recapture the spirit and the spectacle that was Las Vegas 7s. They tried with Los Angeles, but perhaps Los Angeles isn't the destination that Las Vegas is. I want to turn a little bit more towards the game itself and this is always something I've wondered, and I'll go to Fiona and I'll go to Michael at first with this question. And it was interesting. I coach, for fans that don't know, I coach girls wrestling. And what I noticed immediately going to girls wrestling events as opposed to boys was that young girls interact with one another through sport much differently than men. And I'm not saying it's better or worse, it's just different. And it's kind of interesting because what I would see is like at a break in a wrestling action, when there's a break in the tournament, you know, there's a video board and all the girls are doing line dancing, right, together. You never see that at a guy's wrestling event. Guys would, you know, they put their hoods up, they go hunker down and they, you know, sit by themselves and sulk or, you know, mentally get ready for that next match. But girls just interact with the sport different. I saw that this weekend in Elkhart. So as we get back to the sevens here in the United States in the Club Sevens tournament, I saw that, you know, like both the North Shore women and the Lions women had their own kind of routines that were fun and different and just unique. North Shore did, I think, were they doing Rochambeau tournament before they warmed up? Lions women, you guys, Fee, you guys did something. You guys, don't you do like a name game or something like that as you guys are circled up?
I saw the men, and I'll you know, point to Baska here, but I saw them do a dance version of, you know, the phone game, the telephone game, where you got to relay the message, but they did it in dance format, and boy, whew, I can't wait to see Baska in the nightclub after seeing that.
Yeah, that was the very last person, but there's a reason I was last. And leave the dancing to the girls, the Lions girls. You don't want to see the boys doing that again.
Well, again, you know, the sevens game's short. So, you know, if you can do a brief, quick, you know, warm up to get excited, you know, who knows, you know, a 3-minute, you know, YMCA ain't the worst thing.
I just think that in the women's game, like, if you feel comfortable in an environment, you're not afraid to be able to show who you are, what your personality is. And like, there are a few of us that are very different. Like, you won't see me dancing. That's just not me. But there are girls that find that, like, they feel comfortable to do that. And that's what prepares them. Like, I think with girls' sport, you kind of all become a connection. And usually people pick up rugby because their friends are playing or they want to make new friends. And that's how, you know, they're not, majority of the time, you'll see it to be like, they don't necessarily care about the sport they're playing. It's more so, oh, I want to meet new people or so-and-so's playing. And then they pick up the sport. I just find that there is a deeper connection when you're in a sports team as a female. And TikTok is a big thing now. Well, that's probably a lot what you're trying to, you're seeing is people doing, girls doing these TikTok dances. But no, I think it's just about being comfortable. And if you are seeing that on a team, I think it shows it's a good thing because people are feeling comfortable, feeling safe, and being able to express who they are in the environment. I think that's what has been great about the Lions. You can see that. And we do have we have many teams. There's a lot of us. So there's a lot of different people.
Yeah, and I think, you know, Rob, we got to get back to a little bit of it is that, you know, rugby needs to be fun. You know, obviously, you know, we are taking it professional and the game has changed. We do have the MLR. Obviously, rugby's in the Olympics again. But, you know, truth be told, I started playing way back when because it was fun. It wasn't, you know, what my historical football and, you know, baseball, basketball was. And rugby was fun. And so I think it is pretty cool to see that, you know, there is still a fun element to it. And, you know, we've talked about this, you know, summer sevens, you know, kind of festival environment. And, you know, you got to go up and down throughout the day. You play for 20 minutes, you get a 2-hour break. And, you know, if you can't have a little bit of fun doing that, you'll probably go insane somewhere.
I think that's the difference with sevens is that you get that exposure to those things, whereas 15s is different. Like, you don't have the time in 15s to be able to, oh, well, we're having this downtime and we're going to do a TikTok dance. Like, that really wouldn't happen. I think that is the good thing about sevens because it comes more of an event thing and you expose different types of emotions and feelings and connections throughout the day. You're not just turning up, playing rugby and going home. Like Fee said, you know, you have the down parts many times. You're playing 5 or 6 games a day. Something that's going to pick you back up. And if that's someone doing a TikTok dance to bring the team together, then so be it.
Capasco, you don't think Scott Lawrence would like it if you just started to break out a dance during the scrum half passing drills?
maybe not, but you definitely catch George Merrick and the Hounds pregame doing a few dances. Right, Rob?
What's funny about George is like, if for folks don't know him, he's like 6'8", but then, you know, he dances like he's 5'7". So, you know, that's pretty entertaining in itself. Just this giant human being dancing a jig like you were at the club hanging out with the boys. So, you know, perhaps on that note, is this the mechanism through which we can really grow the game of rugby and piggybacking off that social media piece, really expose people to the game through these fun, you know, enjoyable experiences and getting and how do we do that without losing that team first mentality that I think is at the root and culture of rugby? Can we do both in essence? Make it fun, make it individual, but still embrace that team first mentality that seems to be the part of the rugby ethos.
You know, Rob, I guess I would just say now that I'm a coach, I would probably just say there's a time and a place for everything, right? And as long as we, you know, find that happy balance and, you know, I think you have a longer leash when things are going well, right? If the team's 5-0, 6-0, 7-0, and, you know, things are clicking and, you know, hey, if there's doing a little social media off the field, no big deal. You know, you're 0-5, 0-6, 0-7, and that's maybe where the focus is. You know, just now that I've spent more time on the opposite side of the sidelines as I did between it, you know, I guess that's probably where I'd start with my comments.
Yeah, and as a player, I mean, for me, it's keep the main thing is
players.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, like, for me, it's keep the main thing, and that's playing rugby, winning games, and playing well. You know, when the main thing is going well, then, you know, obviously you want to embrace both sides of rugby, but kind of what Tafi said, I think when things are going well, you do have a bit of a longer leash, but when things are going rough, sometimes being, you know, doing the TikTok dances, posting things on social media, it can have an effect in people's minds. Are they taking this game as seriously as they should, which maybe not be the right connotation, but that's how the culture is. And you for me, it's keep the main thing, and that's playing good footy and winning games.
Yeah, and I agree. And I am one of those serious Ali players that'll be sat there thinking, like, reflecting on the game, and I will be the one dancing. And I've had to kind of change my own expectations to be like, to kind of be a bit more patient with others, because I think the difference is, if you talk about sevens, talk about us as the Lions, for example, we've had 3 or 4 women's teams in one tournament. You've got people at completely different levels and also different own expectations. You've got a team that's basically focused on performance and focused on winning, and you've got another team who are completely there for fun, to just have a laugh and not take it seriously at all. But both of them are okay, because that's both of what rugby's about. And I think it's just finding that balance and making sure the right people in the right teams are focused on the right thing, if that makes sense. But you can't lose sight of, yes, rugby is all about performance and winning, but then some people are playing for pure enjoyment, which is also okay as well.
It's like you and the big guy, Rob. You're on mute again.
Oh, my God.
Hey, you're on mute again, Rob.
You're muted.
Yeah, we have a special relationship.
We didn't get any of that because you were muted. We're disappointed that the big guy won't get a chance to hear your kind words.
We have a special relationship. But, yeah, I'm having Wi-Fi connectivity issues, so it's been a little bit slow on my side when I go back to that mute button. But one last question is, you know, as we start to inch closer towards that USA Club Sevens National Tournament, Cottage Grove, Wisconsin. Again, folks, that's going to be starting on Saturday, August 9th. Going to run the 9th and the 10th. We're going to have a pre-show on Friday night, courtesy of Next Level Rugby, and you can catch all the action on Next Level Rugby, both YouTube channels as well as Facebook. And I think on the Rugby Network as well is another great place to catch it, whether you have a Roku app or whether you have your PC, or whether you have an app on your phone. You should be able to catch all the action. I think both fields 1 and 2 are going to be on camera, so you can get your favorite team at any time they're taking the pitch. But I got to ask, just quickly going around the horn, and I might put the Welsh fee at Lady fee, if you will, at a disadvantage here. But what's a couple things, you know, one or two things that maybe one thing a player and one thing fans can do to prepare for that weekend to make it as enjoyable and fun experience as possible?
Well, I'll start maybe to take the pressure off the other two and let them think about their answer. But what I can tell you, Rob, is that, you know, what we've done is eliminate the action on field two to get all of the finals. So the bowl finals, the shield finals, the plate finals, the obviously the cup final, both men and women are driven to field one. And so, you know, the downside is that, you know, the bottom eight have to play their fourth game on this on the Saturday. But the benefit of that is that, you know, that stadium's rocking, you know, at that second half of the day on Sunday. So, you know, get a seat early, get up into the clubhouse early and grab yourself a cold beverage so you can enjoy, you know, what I think is going to be just fantastic. I mean, when we think about day two, the teams that'll be involved, I mean, you're going to see Eagle level players on all of those teams, and it's going to be fast. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great rugby. And, you know, it's going to be hopefully a great day for us, you know, weather wise.
Now I'm going to jump in real quick, fans. Dave Fee is a 100% spot on. If you get up on the deck, if you get an actual seat, don't give it up on Sunday. Right. Yeah, some people kind of rotate in and out. Oh, my team's off. I'm going to step out. Let somebody else sit in my seat. Don't do that. Get in your seat. I don't know. Get a Gatorade bottle and a towel and get yourself ready to sit in that chair and maybe relieve yourself in a cup if you need to, because it is awesome action all day long. And it is the best seat in the house to watch it from that deck. And you can just have somebody fetch you a few adult beverages whenever you need to rehydrate. So maybe better yet on the player end, but I know you, you know, Michael, you might have family coming in. I know they're from the Midwest, but from a player perspective, what do fans and players need to do to have the best weekend possible and enjoy the weekend's festivities at the Club National Seven start?
I would probably leave that to Fee, Welsh Fee. You know, she's the Sevens expert.
Win, baby, win.
Yeah. Just do my role, catch pass, hit a couple breakdowns, you know, keep the morale high between games with, like you're saying, a few YMCA dances. But it is a 2-day tournament. I played a number of Sevens nationals. Everyone there is good. Everyone there has good skills. And so by when it comes to finals footy on Sunday, it's just how prepared are you? How's the mentals? How's the body? But like I said, Welshie has a better understanding of the landscape than I do, being a 15s guy, historically 15s guy.
I would just say just like make the most.
Yeah, hey, sorry, Fee, I'm going to jump in real quick.
Right.
Folks, if you're watching this,
unleash then,
Michael Baskis sell things short.
Yeah, don't sell yourself short there, Basket. I've seen you. You're holding your own. Yeah, just fine.
Yeah. The man played in a final, in a national finals 2 seasons ago with the Bombers, right? So he knows a thing or two about playing in this tournament and what it takes to be on the podium. Okay. So don't let it lie. Come and see this guy play. He's gonna be taping himself up, strapping it on, get ready. All right, Fiona. What do you got? What would you suggest? How do players mentally prepare for a weekend away in Cottage Grove, Wisconsin?
Well, number one, I think you think about what your expectations are for the weekend. Obviously, this is what we've played for all summer, and this is a performance tournament. This isn't something you're going to come now and just be like, hey, we're just here for a laugh. This is the peak performance that you need to be at for what you've done all summer. But I think also getting a balance right with switching on and off. That's definitely something I've tried to work on as a player. I'm constantly want to be on all the time, thinking about rugby all the time, but you want to be able to enjoy the whole experience. So definitely balancing when to be on and when to be off. We've spoken a lot about social media and thinking of where social media probably was a few years ago around nationals. I think just like if you, as a player now, if you wanted to document your whole weekend, do it. If you wanted to, you know, do a day in the life of showing what it's like to be a player, maybe your first nationals, maybe your third or fourth, do it to give your team the exposure. But I think just maximize your time there, make the most of the opportunity. But obviously the priority is performance and making sure that whatever you need to do to be switched on and get the job done needs to be number one.
100%.
Yeah, and Rob, you know, one of the things that I didn't say, and, you know, I'll speak up here just, you know, on Fionn's behalf, you know, she mentioned we had, you know, 4 teams, you know, at one of the tournaments, which was 56 some players and, you know, over 60 at training. And so you know, what those players have been able to learn from players like Fionn, who's been, you know, 30 plus caps for Wales and whatnot, you know, to come into an environment to see what it's like to, you know, not only be a professional rugby player on the field, but, you know, hey, how are you doing some of the things off of it? And, you know, those types of things. So for our players to be able to, you know, get an insight into that, you know, it's been fantastic. So, you know, I'm glad that Fionn's been here all summer, and I think it's benefited our program without a doubt. And, you know, now we get a chance to go see her perform in a final and, you know, hopefully earn her keep.
No pressure. No pressure.
So as we round this out, I just want to, I want to take an opportunity to remind everybody just how, especially players, how great of an opportunity exists out there. We have both representatives from Emily Bidewell from the women's side and Ben Pickleman from the men's side coming out to watch players. And we know that players, this tournament has produced members of our national team, right? And of course, Michael's represented the 15 side, but I'm talking about this men's and women's sides and sevens, you know, in Chula Vista. We have Will Chevalier right now, who is contracted with the U.S. men's national team, who's out in Chula Vista. Chowdhury, whose first name escapes me, and I'm sure.
Ashley, she was the MVP of this tournament 2 years ago, which I think was a big springboard for her to, you know, get capped last year or this previous year.
And Will was the MVP of the tournament when the Lions men's won it in, what, 2023? Okay, so, I mean, there is that pathway, and we have national team representation at the highest level coming out to see the talent. So players, this is your opportunity to shine. This is your opportunity to show out. And I think we have to be mindful of how far the game's come since the time that Dave and I played, where there is a clear pathway. There is a direction. Players can be found. They just have got to, you know, let their talents, you know, be on display. And there's a great opportunity for that. So again, a reminder, you know, with the pre-show, and I don't know that Dave Fee wants to tip the hand as to what the pools look like yet. Maybe we'll reserve that from a week from Friday and wait to throw that out there. Maybe not. We'll see. You know, I think what we've got to remember is there's a pre-show on Friday night. You can catch it on Next Level Rugby. I think, I don't know if it's going to be on the Rugby Network or not. People more important than me figured that stuff out. But all the action will be on the Rugby Network on Saturday and Sunday, the 9th and the 10th. And you're going to be being able to be to catch all the action on both Field 1 and Field 2. So tune in and check it out. I think it's a great spectacle and a great representation of what USA Rugby is all about. And it's great to have two people like Michael Baska and Fionn Lewis join us on this podcast. And of course, always a tip of the hat to my good friend Dave Fee for his willingness to join in and share his knowledge and expertise about rugby in the United States. Folks, with that being said, you know, go check out the action. The Rugby Rant is happy and committed to growing rugby one fan at a time. If we can get one more fan out to the event, that's awesome. Nevertheless, I want to thank both of you guys. I want to thank Michael Baska for joining.
Yeah, I think Baska's on his way to Madison already. So
he's booted me straight away. He started talking about insider rugby information with pool play. I know nothing, I promise. USA Rugby, just, the seven seam must have cut off my feet.
Yeah, I know. My pump up had him ready to go. So all right. So I can't wait to see both of you, all three of you guys in Madison in just 2 weeks' time. But with that, again, I want to thank the three of you for joining in. I can't wait to see the action in a couple weeks' time. And everybody else at home, again, catch it. It's not to be missed. But with that being said, we'll see everybody at the next.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Rob.
Bye.
See you guys soon.
We'll be right back. Free audio post-production by Alphonic.com.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Trying to lose weight? It's time to try Hers. At forhers.com/foryou, you can access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss treatments tailored just for you. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.